Let's learn together a small piece tonight, and then maybe we'll have time for an additional idea in addition to that piece. We'll see what you'll see what I'm talking about soon. Okay, on page Resh Mem Aleph, Eis Ayin Ches, he quotes the Chavetz Chaim, which he does quite often. Kol Mekadesh Shevi Karoy Loi, Kol Shemer Shabbos Kados Mechal Loi, Scharoy Harbe Moed Al Pifal Loi. This is all from the Friday night Zemer of Kol Mekadesh Shevi, a very popular Zemer that is it's written in the Aleph Beis. The acrostic is the Aleph Beis. And he quotes a vart on Zmiris from Chavetz Chaim, which is always it's always good to have Torah on Zmiris, because if they ever ask you on Friday night or Shabbos day, you know, you have anything on the parsha and you didn't go to the shmooze that day, so you know, you blank out, so then you always have a var to say on the zmiris. So what does this mean? Kol mekadesh shvi karoyla means whoever keeps Shabbos that's in a way that's worthy of him. Kol shemer Shabbos kados mechalalai, anyone that keeps Shabbos properly from being mechalalit. His schar is very great, al pifale, based on his actions. Ishal machaneu vishal digloi. Each person on his machane, each person by his flag, and it's a little confusing what the Zemer is talking about. So the Chavetz Chaim said as follows: Pirish yeshnei sugei shemer Shabbos. There's two different categories of people that are shemer Shabbos. Yeshem mekachem es haShabbos. There are two basic types when it comes to Shmir Shabbos. Some types are people that mamish keep Shabbos properly, and they're looking forward to Shabbos, and they're excited about Shabbos, and they're, when Shabbos comes, they make sure not to you know, say anything that they shouldn't, and say and read things that they shouldn't, and engage in conversation that they shouldn't. And all they do all day on Shabbos is they learn Torah and they engage in tefillah, etc. Keroy liyam haShabbos, as appropriate for Shabbos. That's one type of person that shomer Shabbos. That's, you know, I always mention Marash Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Shechter, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who used to have the good fortune to have been invited to his house very, very often on Shabbos. And his sudas looked very different than, you know, sudas that I've ever really been to on Shabbos. Not that I, you know, my family's suda was bad or anyway, you know, about Chas V'Shalom. They were all very Shabbos-tick and very nice. But Rav Aaron's suda was like literally me'ein olam haba. Like he was, you know, first of all, he always looked very regal with his long white beard, and he would tie a napkin around his like to protect his beard, I guess, from chrein or whatever. I don't know, but and he would just basically, there was no schmoozing at the Shabbos table, not Shabbos night, not Friday night, not Shabbos day, not Shalosh Shudos. There was no schmoozing. It was never like just became like a free for all. Like it was always Tyra. Everything was Tyra. And so he'd make kiddush, and then we would wash, and then we would eat lecha mishnah, and then we would have the fish, and then they would take away the fish plates, and the rebbetzin would bring, and then they would put out, like, everyone got him a kreis gedolos chamish, and whatever he was up to, it was at the beginning of the parasha, if it was at sheni, shlishi, whenever, and he would learn a pasuk, and then he would learn a the Rashi, and then an Eben Ezra, look in this, and somebody ask a kasha, and it would, like, he'd pull out other svarim, and then got a little late, sang a zemer, ate a suda, then, you know, ate the main, then we had soup in the main, and it was a delicious meal, but, like, it was, like, a very, like, beautiful experience. It was, like, you know, like a picture book Shabbos table. It was exactly the way, like, halacha demanded, how the spirit of Shabbos calls for. And that's the way it was. Week after week, Shabbos after Shabbos, Yantav after Yantav, he just was very, very consistent in this perfect keeping of Shabbos. Esagat Torah, Tefillah, you know, everything was very chash. I remember once we were walking home, he lived on East 17th at the time. He moved later near to Yeshiva, but anyway, we were walking on his block, and there was a frum guy that was walking a dog on a leash. And in Flatbush, there is really not a usable Erev. There is an Erev they built afterwards, where Ramesha held that the Erev, that you can't make an Erev in Flatbush in Brooklyn. And, you know, like the joke was, like, if they tried to make one in Flatbush, and they went in Borough Park, and then people started carrying in certain parts. And, like, you know, like the joke was, like, you know, if you see a guy carrying or pushing a stroller on Shabbos, you know, in Brooklyn, and he says, "Good Shabbos," then you say to him, "Mirtza Shem Bayu." He didn't say anything. He's like, "Good Shabbos," this guy, and he was carrying a leash, and the leash of the dog was, like, hanging. And, like, he spent, like, the whole Suda just going through the Mishnah Berurah about these halachas, about, you know, a leash, if it's a haitzah, you know, if you hold it taut, if it's very tight, then, you know, it's okay. If it's you know, if there's a loop, if it's not always tight, then that's a problem. And just the whole... Anyway, the point is that, you know, Shabbos is Shabbos. I remember once we were walking by Chaim Berlin across the street. There's like a Tzala dock. And we were, he had his whole entourage, his grandchildren walking in front of him. And I was walking and with Talmidim next to him. And all of a sudden we see, like, it was like on Shabbos after davening. And there was like a frum guy who had, there was that Atzala call. So he drove to that Atzala ambulance, parked his car, you know, wearing his big day Shabbos. And then he jumped into the Atzala ambulance, turned it on, of course, and, you know, sped off with the sirens. And we were all like just sort of staring at this because it was like, you know, it was not that we never saw Atzala in our life, you know, it's just something like interesting to look at, I guess. And Rav Aaron like gathered us all around him, the kids and everybody, and he was like, "Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos Kodesh." Not that, you know, there's any Chilul Shabbos involved. It's definitely mutter. It's a mitzvah for Atzal to do it. But, you know, for us, when you see things like, if you see a frum guy jumping into a car or whatever, it could sort of erode your awe of not keeping Shabbos. You know, of like, okay, lightning didn't strike. He drove his car. You know, so just to imbue in us, and especially, I guess, the children, the Zahiris of Shabbos, but he was definitely a Shabbos Takiyid. He was like, there's no question about his, you know, he was in general a tremendous Baal Avodah in everything, but Shabbos was something extraordinary by him. Anyway, but that's one type of Yid. That's one type of Yid that keeps Shabbos. V'yesh Suk Sheni, there's another type of Yid, Sherak Shaimim Es HaShabbos Kados Mechalalei. He's Shomer Shabbos, not in that way. That's not the way this type of Yid keeps Shabbos. He's keeps Shabbos just so that he's not Mechal Shabbos. Kleimer, Shein Mechal is a Shabbos, Shaifsim Melacha, meaning he's not working on Shabbos. He's not driving a car on Shabbos. He's not, you know, he's not smoking on Shabbos. But Avogamei Mekadshim Eisai, he's not doing anything to especially be Mekadosh Shabbos. He sleeps a bagel, you know, he sleeps the whole night, then he eats something, he sleeps more. You know, just reading, you know, Wall Street Journal the whole Shabbos, and, you know, just not, they're keeping Shabbos. Is he not keeping? No, he's keeping Shabbos, Shomer Shabbos. But Shomer Shabbos Kados Mechalala. He's just keeping it so as not to be Mechal Shabbos. Two different types of people. They're both Shomer Shabbos, but you can't obviously compare a Rav Aaron Shechter to a regular person that's just doing the basics just so that he's not Mechal Shabbos. L'cholecha mehem schari harbamayit. So the Zemer continues that, meaning let's go plug it back into the Zemer. There's a kol mekadesh shvi karoy loy. That's one type of Yid. He's mekadesh shvi Karoyloi, the way it should be, Karoyloi, as befitting him. He's properly keeping Shabbos. He's learning. He's davening. He's immersed in Shabbos. Then Kol Shemer Shabbos Kados Mechal is another type of Yid. He's keeping Shabbos, but just so that he's not a Mechal Shabbos. He's not doing much more than that. Then the Zemer continues. Scharoi Harbe Moed Al Pifaloi. The Schar is for both of them is great. You can't we can't have any idea how much schar a person gets on any level of Shmir Shabbos. Avol ascharu al pi falei. Schar ha-remayt al pi falei. It's not just that we're both Shemir Shabbos, we both get equal schar and shamayim. That's not the way it works. It's al pi falei. It depends on what you put into Shabbos. Vein adayim eschar ha-shemir Shabbos l'schar ha-shal ha-mekadish ha-shabbos. If you're just Shemir Shabbos, that's great. You're going to get a lot of schar, but you can't compare that to somebody that's actually going and being mekadish the Shabbos and like really investing great kedusha in Shabbos. Because every single person is on his own camp by his own flag. That's obviously a pasuk from the Midbar. Every person has their own machane and their own flag. It's not like when we go up to Shamayim, we're all going to be, okay, you're Shemir Shabbos, all right, go into that room. You're Bechaja, go into that. It's not the way it works. Every single person gets the schar based on how much he put into Shabbos. If you put into Shabbos, you know, everything, and you really, you know, you there's a great maisa with Reb Shalom Shvadron. Was once on a boat, he's going somewhere, I don't know, from Eretz Yisrael to somewhere in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, but he was, you know, in his cabin, and on the other side of the wall of that cabin, and the walls were like very thin, so there was a Yekesh Yid that was like his neighbor on the other side of the wall in the adjoining cabin. So Reb Shalom Shvadron, the way he describes it, if I got it correctly, he's like, he's looking in the mirror at his beautiful Hadras Panim, he's admiring himself and his frag, and he's getting ready for Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and he's and then he hears like this Yekka on the other side of the bathroom wall, also looking in the mirror, but he's saying Lekavid Shabbos Kodesh, and he's like shaving, you know, he's like, you hear the electric shaver kick on, and he's shaving Lekavid Shabbos, and Rav Shalom Shvadron was like lamenting that, like, that's, you know, me with my long beard, I was just admiring myself, Lekavid Shabbos, you know, but he was actually doing a pu'ula for Shemir Shabbos, for, to be Shemir Shabbos, so people, you know, that really care about Shabbos, they put things into Shabbos. They make Shabbos a special day. It's completely up to us what we make of Shabbos. Shabbos could either be just a day of rest and like, okay, I had a long week, tough week, and I just have to kick back so I just can, you know, I'll sleep and I'll eat and I'll go to a kiddush, I'll have some herring, I'll have schnapps, fall asleep. That's Shemir Shabbos. Nobody's putting that down. You get schar for that also. But it's not the same schar as you have for somebody that's called Mekadish Shvi Karoyloi. And it's really an avaida that we, you know, that we have to do. I once was saying this over many, many years ago in Yeshiva, one of the early years of Yeshiva. One of the Rabbeim were, I think I said it by Shalosh Shudas, I think it might have been Rosh Hashanah, like a 3-day yontiv. And so I spoke by Shalosh Shudas, and a different Rabbi in Yeshiva, I'm not going to mention who, but he was very into sports. And I wasn't addressing him. I was just saying, how we have to try to like up our game on Shabbos. Like try this year, New Year. Let's try to like really be Shemir Shabbos, Kam Kadosh Shvi Karoyloi. And you know, I was using it as an example. Like, you know, a lot of people, they enjoy on their Enik Shabbos is reading Sports Illustrated. And, you know, they love sports. They want to read Sports Illustrated. So there's nothing wrong with reading Sports Illustrated. But, like, you know, it's not Shabbos-tick. Shabbos, we should be, you know, learning. We should be Maver Sedra. We should, if we're going to read a Gadol book or, you know. But anyway, he got up after I spoke and he said he's being Mekabel on himself, that he loved reading sports. That was his thing. That was his thing. Shabbos, he was Mekabel on himself. You know, he will never read sports. And he told me recently that, you know, he's still Adayim. That must have been 20 years ago, maybe, that I said that. He said, I am. He never reads sport. He doesn't read Sports Illustrated anymore on Shabbos. But, you know, it's hard. Obviously, you want to enjoy Shabbos. You want to relax. And, you know, but there's a Kedusha to Shabbos. And every person, you know, I'm not saying that every person has to be Rav Aaron Schechter. I'm certainly not Rav Aaron Schechter. And I'm not always perfect on Shabbos. But whatever level that we are at in our own personal Zahiris of Shabbos, if we could, like, just up at a notch, and I'm talking to myself also, that would be like a tremendous accomplishment. if we normally read the New York Times on Shabbos, then read the Yated on Shabbos. Read the Yated, then read Bim Avi said, read a Gadol biography. Whatever it is, just do it's much better, by the way, to sleep on Shabbos than to schmooze. Sometimes I see guys like upstairs and they're playing these board games and they're schmoozing. I don't like that. That's not a Ben Tyra Dickert. I'm not, I don't make a macha about it because I realize that, it's not easy for everybody to learn a whole Shabbos, and it's like, but it's not a Shabbos Dickert thing to play board games. It's nice when you're a kid, maybe, you're a little kid, you want to play Monopoly on Shabbos or whatever, fine. But like when you're already a base medrash age, to sit and, I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but it's not Shabbos stick. It's not something that Shabbos stick. It's nice, nicer, better to learn and to daven. But that's the Vardal Chavetz Chaim. Kam Kaddish Vi Karoyle. And every time we sing this Zemar on Shabbos, yeah, you could think about this, because it's the Chavetz Chaim. It's very chashuv to have a var from the Chavetz Chaim on Zmiris. That there's a Shemesh, there's a Mekadosh V'Karoyle, the Rav Aaron Schechter type of Yid that really, really keeps Shabbos perfectly. And then there's another type of Yid that's called Shemesh Shabbos Kadosh Mechaloi. He keeps Shabbos, but just not to Mechal Shabbos. That's another type of Yid. And Schar Habim and Alpifola, you get Schar, you'll get a lot of Schar, but it's Alpifola, it's based on what you do. Each person on their level, Yishal Machaneu, Vishal Diglai, based on what camp you are, what flag you're at, every shevet, every gradation. So the point is that Chavetz Chaim is trying to make is that not to feel bad, not to guilt anybody. I'm just Shemesh Shabbos, that's great also. If you're keeping Shabbos in 2024 and you're not texting and you're withstanding all of the temptations of, of doing stuff that a lot of people out there are doing, unfortunately, on Shabbos, you're good. You're great. This is not a put down. This is not in any way guilt. But at the same time, we get schar based on alpi folly, what we do. So as we're growing, as we're becoming more b'nei tayradik, and we're going to get married, we're going to have a family, so it's kedai to like give some thought to just like ratcheting up the kedusha Shabbos in increments. It doesn't have to be like, it's not going to work if you just like jump to the top level and try to be this crazy chassid every Shabbos. It's not going to work. But if you could slowly, like, make sure to be nizar in a lot of the things of Shabbos that maybe we're not, what we read, what we're speaking about, where the conversation is, it would be a very, very big thing. And I'm trying to hold myself back, but I know myself I can't. A very big part of Shabbos is where you're located on Shabbos. Where you're located on Shabbos. And, it's going to be much harder. It's like, for example, if let's say I know that I'm very weak with, in terms of I'm an alcoholic, okay? I know to stay, I'm going to try not to pass by a bar, because, not in Shabbos, in general. I'm going to try not to pass by a bar because I know if I pass by a bar, I'm probably going to get drawn in, and I'm going to start drinking again. If I'm trying to quit smoking, it's probably not a good idea to hang out with friends that are smokers because they're just going to have they're going to stand outside schmoozing, and it's going to be, I'm not going to be able to resist, and I'm going to take a cigarette from them. And, if you're having challenges on Shabbos about what you say, what you're reading, what you're thinking, so then it's better to be in an environment that has Kedusha Shabbos, that you feel more Shabbostic, that you have a chevra of people that are keeping Shabbos properly. And, I'd like to believe that would be in yeshiva. And I for the life of me, and I say this to people, and a lot of you as individuals, I know, have heard this from me, or in a shmooz or whatever, I don't understand for the life of me, and I'm not going to say, I promise myself every time I'm not going to say this again, but I don't understand why guys leave, so often yeshiva on Shabbos. I just don't get it. I get it because everyone else is doing it, but like I don't get it, like why everyone wouldn't want to stay. It's such a beautiful place to be in your own yeshiva on Shabbat. You have your own bed in the dorm. You have your place in the Beis Medrash. There's a beautiful davening here. There's beautiful very good drushes, good good vibe. You have a good chevra. You svarim galore. good food. Like, I don't understand, like, why you wouldn't want to be here. It's chaval. It's free. Like, it's even not on the meal plan. Everyone is invited. And yet, like, you know, Thursday night, Friday morning, boom, everyone's out the door. Like, they're, you know, I have to, like, as I'm coming in, there's, like, a tramp. You know, I almost get, like, you know, trampled on by the stampede of people. Like, you know, Gashavas, Gashavas. Like, what do you mean, Gashavas? There's a shmooze right now, like, up on the fourth floor. But, you know, it's just, if I was a bacher, all I could say is this. If I was a bacher, I'd stay here every Shabbos. That's all I can say. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to guilt anybody, but that's what I would do. And how do I know? Because that's what I did when I was a bacher. I would be in yeshiva every single Shabbos. There's no, whether it was mandatory, that's where I wanted to be. I like my chavra, I like my sarim, I like my gemara, I like my, you know, I go home and, you know, and I came from a very nice home and Baruch Hashem, everything was great there. It wasn't the same Shabbos as when you're in yeshiva. I'll tell you a story. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but it's a yeshiva story. I know what I'm telling you because I went to my high school dinner. I went to Long Beach, the Siv of Long Beach. So they had their annual dinner in near Lakewood last Sunday, I think it was. And I was sitting next to a friend. They put you on tables with your classmates. So there's a few classmates that still come to the dinner. And so this friend of mine, I said to him, I always say over your story. What was the story? This guy was a very big Eilam mensch. He was a big chesed mensch. He always like did things. And every Shabbos, he would keep in his locker. Everybody knew his combination. You know, everyone had lockers with combination. Everyone knew his combination. And he kept like a brownie, like a Reisman brownie cake. I don't know if they make it anymore. Like a little brownie cake. And, you know, if you were learning, you weren't, whatever, you could just go into his locker and take. He was happy to give it. He bought it for the Eilam. And he also had like a, he also bought just for everybody, like a jar of, it wasn't pickles, you know, like it's like a whole jar of like shayurakis in there. Like they have like, you know, like different types of, like onions and pickles and like just a whole cholent of like different types of pickled types of vegetables. I don't know. Anyway, that's what he got every shot. And that was also, it was in the refrigerator. Whoever wanted to have, if you're learning in the Beis Medrash late Friday night or Shabbos afternoon, you just go and take it. That was he got those two things every single week. And just purely for the Eilam, he wasn't a wealthy boy. He was just like, this is what his contribution to yeshiva was, at least on the Shabbos. So, and he would do this in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. The end of 12th grade, he went on Friday afternoon. I think I was with him. I'm not sure if I was with him, but I like putting myself always into these stories. So let's say I was with him. And he put his hand, it was like the local supermarket, it was called Walbaum's. And he put his hand in the shelf to get like that same jar of pickles that he's been doing for 4 years straight. And there was a jar that was like broken and he cut his hand on the jar, he was bleeding. And he called over the manager. The manager right away gets him like a bandage, cleans it out, whatever. And they didn't want him to sue. So basically they asked him to sign like a waiver because you could sue for a lot of money. And they cut him a check on the spot for like $1,748.36. It was like some very random, that wasn't like a normal number. And just so he wouldn't sue, you know, he'd sign his name, they gave him that money. And like, and we made a cheshbon afterwards, like, and the cheshbon was that exactly to the dollar, you know, he had an exact cheshbon, like how much that brownie and that pickle jar cost every week times, you know, the amount of weeks that we were in yeshiva times four years. And it came out mamish to that amount. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mishalim Schar, you know, he repays you. Whatever you do, you know, you'll get Schar HaRemad Al Pifalei. Whatever you want to get Schar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays you in kind. No matter what you do in life, don't think that if something is hard, like they've stuck, like, I don't want to give this guy $5, $10, I need it myself. If you give it, it's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you in spades. It's going to come back to you much more. But at a minimum, if you're worried just about the Karen, you're going to get the Karen back, for sure. And that's what Shabbos is. This is like, I think it's like a nice mashal for Bechlal Shabbos. Shabbos is something that, you will get paid back for whatever you do on Shabbos. You'll get paid back for the money that you spend on Shabbos. Your ma'anik Shabbos extra special, you want to go and buy extra foods, and it's hard because you don't really want to pay that money in it. You'll get it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you back that money. And in Shamayim, whatever you do for Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping tabs, and your schar will be great. And, you know, you want to shmooze, but instead of shmoozing, you're going to stop yourself because it's not Shabbos-tik to do that. And you're going to learn, you're going to say Divrei Torah at the table, and you're going to try to sing Zmiris beautifully at the table. All of these things, Schare Harbe Mardal Pifal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you back in kind. But the greatest payback, more than Eilam Haba, everybody's thinking about Eilam Haba, that's great, and it is in Eilam Hazeh. The schar that you get for keeping Shabbos properly is in this world. There is no greater feeling. I never had a Shabbos like I had by Rav Aaron Schechter's house. That's the schar. The schar is that when you're sitting at a table, you're feeling Eilam Haba at the table. So, you know, sometimes you go to people's houses for Shabbos, and they're talking about shtusim, and they're talking about garbage, and you're like, you know, you walk away from the table like, you know, they didn't sing Zmiras. They didn't say one Dvar Torah. It was just Lashon Hara, and it was that. I didn't enjoy it. This isn't Shabbos. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. You know, and sometimes you go to a place and you feel like the Kedusha. You feel like this is how Shabbos is supposed to be. That's the greatest schar of Shabbos. The greatest schar of Shabbos is not, forget about Eilam Haba. Schar HaBeimad Al Pi Falei, based on what you put into Shabbos, you're going to get out of Shabbos. If you put into Shabbos your blood, sweat, and tears, and you prepare for Shabbos properly, and you go into Shabbos, and you pick up your dry cleaning, and you put a lot of effort into making sure that, you know, you look nice, and you have a haircut, and you shaved, and you you look good, and you feel good, and you're prepared. You're in yeshiva for Shabbos, and you're davening, and you're singing, and you're that's your schar, period. That's all. You don't need more. Hashem will give you much more, but that's the greatest schar. And when you have a family in Mitzvah Hashem, and you start off your marriage this way, like with trying to really be nizer in Shabbos, every single Shabbos you try to, like, you and your wife together, and you find a wife that's signing up for this type of Shabbos, she doesn't want a Shabbos of, like, just socializing and garbage, that's going to be your schar. And your kids will grow up, you know, looking forward to Shabbos and knowing that Shabbos is a special day and it's a day that we learn and we daven and it's beautiful and it's geshmak. That's the schar. There's no greater Eilam Haba than that. I think Rav Shamshon Fel Hirsch, I should have looked it up beforehand and tried to find the exact lashon, but he basically says that he says a lashon like, you know, the feeling that a Jew has when he sits around the Shabbos table with his family and he enjoys the meal together and he sings Miras. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He says no poet or no person in the world has ever been able to put that feeling down on paper. You can't describe that feeling. For a person that has experienced it, like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when I'm describing Rav Aaron Schechter. I don't expect you to, because like it was like literally going back in time hundreds of years, you know, in the right place, in the right environment. It was you felt Shabbos. I don't know if I ever felt. I try to make Shabbos nice to my kids, but, you know, it's always it always devolves into, you know, whatever it becomes. But if you can really, like, find a place that you can feel, you know, special on Shabbos, if, let's say, the guys in this room alone, you guys, you're malachim, like, you come and say, you know, this Shabbos, we're going to stay in yeshiva, we're going to, like, make a geshmak, we're going to sing Zmir, we're going to make, let's try to make, like, one Shabbos perfect. Let's try to make it, like, a beautiful Shabbos in yeshiva, and, like, no bittul tayra, no bittul, no sicha b'teila, and just Zmiris, and just no... You'd be surprised what you could do. And then the next Shabbos, you could build off of that Shabbos. You could start like a movement. But it has to come from within. It has to be organic. And the more we become Shabbos Yidden, the more we are nizhar about what we're reading, about what we're looking at, what we're talking about, and we're not just keeping Shabbos, so we're not mechalei Shabbos. That's the lowest level. But we're keeping Shabbos because there's so much to be gained by keeping Shabbos. There's so much beauty in Shabbos. There's so much kedusha in Shabbos. And I love the way I feel on Shabbos when I'm in that environment. That's schar harbimoy. The schar for that is impossible to describe. No one has ever been able to adequately describe it. And it's something that, you know, we all have to try to work on ourselves to get to that madriga. Now that we're Bachrim and Mitzvah Hashem, when you're going to be married, that's the ideal. The ideal, don't start your married life off like, you know, over here. Start over here. And if it goes down, it goes up. Okay, fine. But try to really shoot for that type of Shabbistika ruach that you're coming back from shul on Friday night and you have your kedusha and you come in with a smile and you sing Shalom Aleichem and your wife is, you know, waiting and she has the food ready and you just like make it nice. Don't cheapen Shabbos. Try to find a way to make Shabbos beautiful in your homes. And then it's going to be Shabbos. Then it's going to be, that's the greatest chayr. You're going to be a person that people know that's the house to go to if you want to feel what Shabbos is. Otherwise, it's just going to be a Sabbath. It's going to be like the Gayim have Sunday, we have Saturday. It's a Saturday, we don't use electronics. That's not Shabbos. Shabbos is what we put into it, the investment of ourselves, of our neshama yisera into Shabbos. You can have delicious food, you could sleep, all that's great, that's all lighting Shabbos, but it's the spirit of Shabbos that sometimes we miss. Like we're so busy buying these delicacies and engaging in this and that we don't even feel Shabbos because we're so busy with it's the Kedusha, it's the Torah, it's the feeling of I'm a Yid and I can touch the Neshama Yisera. There's so much holiness in the air on Shabbos. And that is what the Chavetz Chaim, I believe, is trying to convey to us. And Amir Tzashem, this is it's something to strive for. It's not a given. It's not easy. But it could be easy, but we have to just work on it and be aware of it. And Baruch Hashem, we have this opportunity now through the eyes of Rabbi Yehuda Lapian.